On April 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln called America to a day of fasting and prayer. In preparation for this occasion, these were President Lincoln's words. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Now, if on April 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln felt that America had forgotten God in 1863, what would he say today? If in 1863 he saw a nation adrift spiritually, he saw a nation that had been overwhelmingly blessed, forgetting the blessor while they enjoyed the blessing, what would his words be today? He says, "We have vainly concluded that it was by our own might and strength, independently of the Creator, that we have enjoyed all the benefits that have accrued to us as a nation." As I thought about those words, I was reminded on this solemn occasion of Genesis chapter 11. The vanity of man. And so I just wanted to take a few moments today to give us a message as Americans and as Christians. To those of us who have been intoxicated with what Abraham Lincoln called unbroken success, who have become proud and self-sufficient and independent of God. On July 4th, 1776, the 13 colonies declared a declaration of independence. What they were saying was, "England, we no longer want to be under British rule. We no longer want you ruling over us. We no longer want you controlling us. We no longer want you to set the agenda for us." And the reason why the colonies declared their independence was because they said there were certain inalienable rights, rights that could not be removed, that were endowed by the Creator, among which was life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. What they were saying to England was, "Your ruling over us has trumped what the Creator has given us. So we declare independence." Now you have to understand, with the Declaration of Independence came war. Because Britain was no longer willing to accept independence. Now it's one thing to declare independence from a country or from your mama and your daddy. It's a whole different ballgame to declare a declaration of independence from God. In Genesis chapter 11, you have a declaration of independence. You have society determined that God would not rule over them. They decided to do their own thing independently of God. We're introduced to verse 1 that the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Up until this point in the Bible, to journey east was to journey away from God. When God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, that he pushed them out east, away from his presence. When Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, was removed after killing his brother, it says that he was removed away from the presence of God to the east. So when it says in verse 2 that they wanted to go east, that's a euphemism. They wanted to get away from God. We know that that's not merely makeup statements, because it says in verse 3 that they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly, and use bricks for stone." And they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Let us build for ourselves a tower that will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." In other words, let us set our own agenda separate from what God told us to do. God had told them to scatter. They said, "We don't want to scatter. So let's consolidate our resources and function as a civilization independently of God." What they wanted was what most of our teenagers want: independence. Which would be fine if they would leave home. But the problem is they want independence in your house. They still want to eat your food, enjoy your heat in the winter and your cool in the summer. Still want you to buy them the nicest tennis shoes and brand new clothes. Still want to borrow the car after you've put gas in it. But they want to stay in their room, watch their private television, listen to their private iPads while enjoying the benefits of your provision. What teenagers often want in a house, God's creatures often want in creation. They want the benefits of the Creator without his involvement. "God, don't tell me what to do, but keep putting food on my table. Don't tell me what to do, but keep putting clothes on my back. Don't tell me what to do, but keep giving me an economy that's expanding so that I can grab more wealth for myself. Keep blessing me, but don't instruct me. Don't tell me what to do, but keep giving me a house to live in that's kept safe." But you must understand, when America declared independence, it also declared war. Because Britain was not going to accept without battle this desire to break away. Unfortunately, increasingly, America is declaring independence from God. It shows up in all kinds of levels. It's most interesting that the mayor of New York said, "We don't want any religion represented at Ground Zero. Only that which is political religion has its own place, and it is not here." God has been pushed out of our schools. His thoughts have been pushed out of many courtrooms across states, across this nation. The right to life has turned into the right to choose death. And God has become a byword, good for invocations and benedictions, as long as he doesn't get in the middle of anything that's discussed in between. Throughout the scripture, God pronounces a warning to the nation that forgets him. That when a nation forgets the God who God declares rules over them, that is not merely forgetting, it is a declaration of war. It is a declaration of independence, which automatically means a declaration of conflict. Now you have to understand, when the British colonies declared war by declaring independence, they were no longer under the protective covering of British rule. Britain wasn't going to provide for them anymore, build their roads for them anymore, take care of them anymore, because when they declared independence, then you get to take care of yourself. You get to handle your own business. The further God is removed from a life or from a culture, the more the door is opened for no longer being covered. You will hear this all over the nation today. God bless America. Everyone is going to say, God bless America. Because we want God's blessing as long as it doesn't include his involvement. We want his benefit as long as it does not include his participation. So they all gathered together to decide, this is civilization, to do three things. Build a city, build a tower, and take a name. They wanted to build a city, build a tower, and take a name. And so they invite one another in verse 3, come let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. Let's put it that way. Back then, this would have been called advanced technology. Let us use our technological skills. Let us use our technology, our ability to take bricks and build a civilization. They wanted to build a city. But it says it was the whole known world, verse 1. So since it was the whole known world and they wanted to build a city, what they wanted to do was centralize their rule independently of God. We want to govern ourselves. Let us build for ourselves. Let us do this on our own. Build for ourselves a city, civilization. And in the center of that city, we're going to put a tower. Now, this tower is known as a Babylonian ziggurat. A Babylonian ziggurat was a religious symbol. It was a huge tower that would place a temple on the top of the tower as a place of worship. Now, watch this. We're going to build civilization, and we're going to have a worship center in the middle of it, a tower. We know they were thinking spiritually because they said, we're going to build a tower, verse 4, whose top will reach into heaven. So they're thinking about heaven. But rather than building what God said build, they wanted to build what they wanted to build and attach heaven's name to it. They still wanted religion, but they didn't want God. You need to understand. You can have religion and still not have God. In other words, you can throw out his name, but still not have his involvement. America will always have religion because it is part of the Constitution to have freedom of religion, freedom to worship. But you can have religion, you can have a tower and not have the Lord. There's a subtle thing said when God created Adam and Eve that many people miss, but it is powerful even though it's somewhat simple to see, and yet it is very provocative in its implication. When God created the man, Adam, in chapter 2 of Genesis, you will read this statement over and over. And the Lord God said, and the Lord God said, and the Lord God created, and the Lord God made man, and the Lord God created the garden, and the Lord God said to Adam. You will see, and the Lord God said. You have two words for God, Lord and God. You've got God's creator, Elohim, you've got Lord, and then you've got God revealing himself. You've got God manifesting himself as Yahweh, as Jehovah. And so you've got the Lord God said. But when you come to chapter 3 of Genesis, and the devil shows up in the garden, his first words were, hath God said. He leaves Lord off. When he is tempting Adam and Eve, he keeps religion, hath God said. But he removes God calling the shots, has the Lord God said. He keeps God's name in the conversation as long as the God you're worshiping is not also the Lord you're serving. They want to have God, but without him being Lord. They want to have church without God being in charge. They want to start things off with prayer. Now that we've gotten God out of the way, let's get to the business. When there is a declaration of independence, even though you may maintain a tower, called religion, you have removed yourself from divine covering. You have chosen homocracy over theocracy. Homocracy is the rule of man. Theocracy is the rule of God. The Bible says that heaven rules earth. The Bible says that God is the ruler of the nations. God makes it clear that not only does he deal with people's lives, he deals with nations. And at some point in time, he brings them to dependency as a way of addressing their independence. It is unfortunate for me to report to you that America has declared a declaration of independence. It's one thing to do it from England. It's another thing to do it from God. It says in verse 4 that they wanted to make for themselves a name. They wanted to name themselves. Now you've heard me say often that names in the Bible are very substantive and significant because names meant authority, responsibility, and ownership. To have God's name meant that God would be your authority, he would own you, and he would therefore be responsible for you. When a woman takes a man's name, when she changes her last name and she takes his name, she thinks she's in for a better future. Now, it may not work out that way, but she's thinking that. That because I have taken his name, he's going to protect me. He's going to cover me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to care for me. And because I am now looking to him, I'm willing to exchange my name for his name. I had a young lady come into my office some time ago. And she says, I am here for one reason. And I said, what is it? She says, I want to change my name. I said, yeah, aren't you married? She says, yes, I want my old name back. She wanted to declare independence from that relationship. She wanted a divorce. A name meant more than nomenclature. A name meant to come under the guidance and protection and covering of that which named you. That's what it meant. So men, what that ought to mean if you're married is that you're going to guide and protect and cover and own that which comes under the umbrella of your name. They did not want God's name. They said, we will name ourselves. Let us make for ourselves our own name. I am somebody. And I'm going to make my name independently of God. We do not want God, so we're going to build our own city. We're going to build our own tower. We're going to make our own way. We're going to establish our own greatness. Because otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth, which is what God said I wanted to happen. God wanted them to scatter. Genesis chapter 9. We don't want what God wants. So in order to not get what God wants, we're going to gather together and get what we want. And we're going to name ourselves. We don't need his name. We have our own name. We have our own independence. In other words, we can be our own sovereign. We can call our own shots. We can build a civilization, keep religion, but get rid of dependency on God. If Abraham Lincoln felt in 1863 that things were getting bad, how much more today, when God is increasingly being marginalized in the culture? When 9/11 occurred, everything stopped. Congress called a special worship service. When 9/11 occurred, God became very important. The reason God became very important is because the technology of America wasn't working. We have folks come over here with a plan who came from an inferior civilization, an inferior culture, and brought superior damage. Who would have thought that the center of economic enterprise in America would collapse? That the center of military prowess would be attacked? Who would have thought that that could happen with a nation that could make bricks, burn them thoroughly, and use bricks for stone and tar for mortar? Who would have thought that with our technology that could happen? Which ought to tell us something. I don't care how advanced you are, how educated you become, how sophisticated you think you are. Run far enough, long enough from God, and you will discover, not because God caused it. I am not suggesting God made 9/11. I am suggesting that the covering of America was removed, which allowed for 9/11. That the evil one and evil ones were given access, because the further you remove yourself from God, the bigger the door opens for evil. When you remove yourself, when you declare overtly or implicitly or even undercover, I want a tower, give me religion, but tell God stay away, then you have opened the door. Please notice something. Verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Read that slow. The Lord came down to see the city, civilization, and tower, religious order, that men had built. Okay, obviously I'm reading that too fast for you. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which men had built. Now, let's go back. They built this under their own name. We got our own name, or to put it in the words of the Isley brothers, it's my thing and I'm going to do what I want to do. This is me. We can do this. But I believe your Bible reads like my Bible, the Lord came down. But wait a minute, last time I checked, you said you were going to build it up to heaven. And that what it said, we're going to build this thing. We're going to build a world, a civilization, independently of God, and it's going to reach heaven. Well, if you made it that far, he wouldn't have had to come down now, would he? I don't care how high you get. God got to come down. Because you ain't going to get but so high. If you've been in an airplane, the tallest building you see doesn't look that much different from the shortest building you see because you're so high. All of them look small. The most significant person in this building, the richest person in this building, the most noted person in this building is small when it comes to God. They said at the Titanic on April 4th, 1912, even God can't sink this ship. The technology of this ship is so astute for that era. The statement was made, and you saw it in the movie, if you saw the movie Titanic, even God can't sink this ship. This is the maiden voyage, the first time out. I mean, the first time you get in the water and you can't even get around an iceberg. It doesn't matter your sophistication, notoriety, or education. God has got to come down because you can't get but so high. Now watch this. Let's come down to see, investigate, if you will, the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Now, that should seem curious to you that God would say that. That doesn't sound like something you would expect God to say, that they're so unified that if we don't do something, they will be able to do whatever they want to do. Now, pay attention to this closely, because I wouldn't expect God to say they're unstoppable. We have to understand the dominion covenant. God made a statement that he would work through man. That's why he created Adam. Rather than working independently of man, that he would work through mankind. But that he would endow men with freedom. Freedom means the capacity to choose. You get to choose. So God does not make you remember him. He does not make you serve him. He does not make you follow him. You can choose not to. This goes all the way back to Lucifer. Lucifer said in Isaiah 14, five times, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Each of those I wills, well, I will rebel against God. God didn't even make Lucifer follow him. The Bible says one third of all the angels followed Lucifer. Oh, by the way, when Lucifer rebelled against God, God changed his name. Lucifer means the shining one. He gave him another name, Satan, because he's now become the adversary of God. But the same reality was given to men. God says they have done something. They are unifying themselves. But they are unifying themselves with a declaration of independence from me. He says, unless we do something about this, because on earth I've given men permission to make freedom decisions, they will let evil proliferate and evil will become unstoppable. If God didn't intervene to stop the direction they were going, then what they have started here is going to expand and evil will dominate. So in order to put the brakes on, in order to cause there to be a pause, in order for them to be put in a position to rethink their situation, in order to be given a scenario where God had to be brought back up significantly in the conversation, he says, we're going to have to intervene here so that we will not let their declaration of independence continue. And so he does. Come, let us go down, verse 7. That is the triune God. Let us go down and confuse their language. Let us go down and intervene in their plans. Has God ever messed up your plans? Were you planning to do something and God showed up and it just went haywire? Came out of nowhere. God intervened. See, that's bad and it's good. It's bad because you're thrown off course when he intervenes. It's good because he's calling your attention back to him. I can tell you now, without 9/11, there would never have been a worship service. My church, everybody's church, was full on the Sunday after 9/11 because people were scared. They were terrified. Because they didn't know who was next or what was next or when it would be next. And it became evident that with all of our technology and all of our abilities, we could not stop that. Now, I join with everybody else with the loss of life. We are saddened at the loss of life. And the only thing I can say about that side of it is that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So that the 3,000 lives that were lost from the standpoint of life and death was simply tied to it being their time. But the collective nature of the event is tied to a progression of independence from God that is continuing to dominate our culture. And I would like to suggest to you today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, you see, when people look at the economy and all that's happening, they're primarily looking at it politically and economically. But what the Christian should be doing is looking at it spiritually and theologically. That this chaos in our economy is not merely who you have in the White House and who you have in Congress. That has its place. But when God is pushed out of the culture, you haven't seen anything yet. It's not just, and that's why the role of the church is to be the conscience of the government. To put before its face the spiritual implications of the political decisions. We're in this political season now and everybody's going to be taking their sides, but as Christians, we should be taking the Lord's side. What does God say about this issue or that issue? And to keep it in the face of the culture and to not be forced to keep our religion in the church house. God is being pushed aside in the culture. The message of God for 9/11 is do not declare independence from me. Because when my covering is removed, which is what naming does. Naming provides a covering. When you wear God's name, you're under God's covering. When you dismiss God's name, you're no longer under his covering. which means that you are now subject to evil forces having access to you. Many of us in our personal lives are wondering why this evil keeps coming against me. Whose name are you wearing? Now, I didn't ask you which church are you going to. I want to know whose name are you wearing? Who are you identified with and receiving instruction from? A man said, I'm tired of you Christians. I'm sick of you Christians. You and your holidays. You got holidays, Easter and Christmas. And you have all these holidays when you bring in God. I'm sick of you Christians. The man said next to him, well, you have a holiday. He said, well, what's my holiday? April Fool's Day. Well, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I used to have a dog and many years ago, I got in trouble with this some years ago, some of you remember. But I used to have a dog and I fed my dog. I gave my dog water, took my dog for walks, kids took him for walks. The dog was an in-house dog, so the dog slept in comfort. The dog didn't have to worry about it being too hot or too cold. This dog had it going on. This dog was living large. For a dog, it was living in the burbs, you know. For a dog, it was doing okay. And so I put the food out for the dog, and I had to go in there and move the plate over because it was leaning, so it was going to fall over. So I moved over to move the plate, and the dog growled at me. I went up and went, oh, no, 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 no. Obviously, you don't understand how this works. You know what? Don't growl at me when I am your supplier. Don't growl at me when I am your provider. Don't growl at me when I'm putting food on your table, a roof over your head, a cot for you to sleep in. Don't growl at me. People want God's provision, but they want to growl. They don't want to be interfered with by the God who made the provision. So God said in verse 7, let us go down, confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. Okay. God said, let's bring about confusion. Is your life confused? Is your family confused? Are the Democrats and the Republicans all confused? Well, maybe it's not merely political. Maybe it's spiritual and theological. Because the Bible said, and God confused them. He brought about confusion. Why? So that they couldn't understand one another. They were talking but not hearing. They were speaking but not getting it. In other words, they could not, watch this, because of the confusion, they could not progress with their plans. They could not move forward as a civilization. There was regression rather than progression. Because of the confusion, because God had been left out of the equation. And as a result, confusion set in because they wanted independence. And verse 8 says, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth. And they stopped building the city. They weren't allowed to finish their plans. Personally, to all of us, don't live an unfinished life. Don't live an unfinished life. Make sure you've asked yourself, myself, and to bring before this nation in the appropriate ways, in the appropriate manner, that America may not get to be finished as a civilization. All through history, you can see God bringing down nations who have forgotten God. Therefore, it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. In the old Negro Baseball League, before integration took place, there was an umpire named Bill Clem. Bill Clem. And Bill Clem was calling a game. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. The winning run was on third base. The ball was hit and thrown home to get the guy before he could touch the home plate. It was real windy that day and dust was flying, and the man slid into home plate and dust erupted everywhere. Both benches came onto the field declaring success. The home team said, "He's safe. He's safe." The visiting team says, "He's out. He's out." And there was chaos because the game righted a road on the call. I mean, it was just pandemonium. Bill Clem was a very big guy, and Bill Clem took off his face mask, threw it down on the ground, and said, "Everybody shut up. 'Cause it ain't nothing till I say what it is. There's a lot of noise out here today. There's Democratic noise and Republican noise. There's white noise, there's black noise. There's rich noise, there's poor noise. There's all kind of noise. God is in heaven saying, it ain't nothing till I say what it is. That I have the last word. And until my word is respected, chaos will ensue in a culture or in a life." A few years ago in Texas, a gentleman got out of a small twin-engine plane on the runway to run inside to get something, and he left the motor running. The wind was so heavy that day that the plane began to move down the runway and lifted off on its own. Lifted off on its own. True story. And without anyone piloting it, it took off. Flying high. Just on its own, it was making it. On its own, it was above. On its own, without anybody at the controls, it was accelerating and it was sky high. I mean, it was on top of the world. But nobody inside calling the shots. There comes a time when it becomes clear you can't make it on your own and you crash land. Better to have God at the controls. Not merely religion. Because when you do, he knows how to bring the plane down to a safe landing, as well as your life.